from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. Just 22% of California communities vulnerable to wildfires have comprehensive publicly available evacuation plans. That's according to a recent analysis by the USA Today Network California, a collaboration of newsrooms around the state. We're going to talk about new research into effective evacuation systems and what emergency management officials have learned about safe escape in the aftermath of the state's devastating wildfires, and we want to hear from you. Have you ever evacuated your home, and what was your experience? Let me tell you who is joining us for this segment. Jeremy Siegel's here with us in studio. He's a reporter for KQED News. He wrote a story on evacuations as part of the KQED Science Series, Living with Wildfire, California Reimagined. Welcome, Jeremy.
Good morning, Michael.
Good morning to you. And as I said, now Jeremy has done it all. He started with us as a Forum intern, and he's been a utility infielder covering so many different things. Now he's on the Forum program with a microphone. I also want to welcome Stephanie O'Neill, who's a reporter with the Kaiser Health News, and she's covered wildfires around the state, including the Camp Fire and the Thomas Fire in Southern California. Stephanie O'Neill, good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Michael.
And let me begin, Jeremy, with you. You've done a lot of coverage about evacuations, and particularly in light of what we have gone through, what people have gone through up and down the state. We still don't have any necessity of having an evacuation plan. I mean, it's up to the individual city and county, really, isn't it?
Yeah, at this point, there is no statewide requirement for communities to have evacuation plans. Some communities throughout the state do, but as you mentioned, there was that recent analysis by USA Today that found that just 22% of communities do have robust and publicly available evacuation plans. That being said, there is legislation making its way through the state legislature right now, AB 747, I believe, by North Bay Assemblyman Mike Levine, would require communities to include in their general plans evacuation plans for wildfires and also address some issues surrounding the capacity of evacuation routes. But yeah, at this point, there is no statewide requirement for communities to have evacuation plans.
Well, Paradise had a pretty good evacuation plan, didn't it?
Yeah, they did. They had an evacuation plan that the county and Paradise emergency officials had worked a lot on, and that the county itself and the town itself had practiced. They did it where the county was, or where the town was broken into zones, and they planned on doing a staggered evacuation of different zones. And what you saw when the campfire swept through Paradise is essentially that this robust evacuation plan that the town had worked hard on, that they'd practiced, it still wasn't enough.
Well, what about these areas? You think about a place like Santa Rosa compared to Paradise, where there are a number of ways to get in and out and so forth. Do they really need evacuation plans?
Well, that's something that emergency officials will discuss, that evacuation plans or a set evacuation plan might not be completely necessary, or that the fire itself, the way that the fire is moving, the way that it's making its way through different parts of the community or affecting roadways, will actually determine the way that they tell residents to get out of town. So you might not need a set plan that says this is the exact way that you'll go ahead of time. But that being said, I mean, if you do talk to officials from Paradise, officials from Butte County, they'll tell you that if they didn't have this evacuation plan in place, things probably could have been a lot worse. And in Paradise, you know, this is a community of 27,000 people, and the majority of them, of course, did get out. We did have 85 people die in the fire, but
well, the mayor, Jody Jones, said more would have died if it hadn't been for the evacuation plans, and we'll take her on her word on that. In fact, Stephanie O'Neill, if I could go to you, the fire was outrunning them. That was really the problem, wasn't it? Paradise?
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, you know, the plans were important. In fact, I talked to many people who said, you know, they were so grateful. There was, you know, police officers or the police chief was in the middle of the street, you know, telling people where to go, because it became pitch, you know, like nighttime for people there. And they couldn't really tell where the fire is coming from. And of course, it was around them. So that's what happens in wildfires. You know, it's not like just one direction oftentimes that the fire is coming. You think you're going out one way and it's safe, but then the fire is come in that direction too. It's a harrowing experience, but at least when there's officials knowing which roads are open, they can tell you go this way, don't go that way. And that did save people. People told me, you know, they would have gone down a certain road and would have burned up or just gotten trapped and burned up, and they didn't. So they do help.
Well, we have better evacuation plans, it seems, for tsunamis or for a dam failure or for a number of things we could think of, earthquakes for that matter. When you think about the unpredictability of fires, Stephanie O'Neill, and just how snap decisions have to be made, how valuable in the realistic sense is an evacuation plan?
You know, I think, you know, as Jeremy is saying, it was helpful and it can be very helpful in places like Paradise. I think it's super important to have these also in the town of Ojai, where I'm from, where we had the massive Thomas fire. You know, we were completely surrounded by it here, and we have very few ways out as well. So it's important to have, but really you're dealing with people. So people act differently, and most of us tend to wait to the last minute to go. And when you do that, the roads are jammed. It doesn't matter the best laid plans. You've got people and all their different issues, and then the roads just get jammed.
Well, I think we're saying now that I believe, in fact, you said on NPR that maybe we always need to be evacuation ready.
Exactly. And you know, we don't have a fire season per se. I mean, this year we got a little bit of a break because we had the rains, and in Southern California, we got them as well. But we really are in a year-round fire season, and we have other disasters, as we know, in California. And just like we prepare for earthquakes, we don't know when they're going to happen. We should be prepared for wildfires, you know, and it's everything from, you know, making sure you have your precious possessions with you. I have, like, my photo albums are now down. Actually, I have hard, you know, heavy duty photo albums that are tangible. They're in boxes now, easier to grab this time out. You know, you have to know where your animals are, where your family members are, how you'll communicate. And then you also have to know what to do when you can't pack up your car and you got to get out, or what to do, God forbid, if you're trapped in the fire and have to stay.
You talked to someone named Tom Cava, and he's a wildfire evacuation expert at the University of Utah. And he said, wildfires, many people think you can't really warn about them because you don't know when they're coming. But he kind of dispelled that idea. He said, you got high temperatures, you got low humidity, strong winds, red flag warnings, all kinds of things that warn us.
Exactly. And I think now, you know, I think about that too myself. In fact, today as I was preparing for this story, I was thinking, oh, where is all my stuff? Because it's hot again. And, you know, we have these hills that could burn. And in fact, it was John Sepulveda, who was here at my house, the host of the California Report, co-host, who was helping me load up my car in case I needed to get out of here when we were both covering the Thomas fire. But yeah, you know, the situation is it's year round. You really should have a plan. Think about those things that are super precious that you cannot replace. I mean, so much you can replace. You don't have to take everything with you. But I had in my story James Nelson from Paradise, and he had all his stuff backed up, all his pictures backed up on external hard drives. And he'd been evacuated 5 times. He was ready, except he didn't have that hard drive there when he got that really quick 10 minutes get out. Because you think usually you're going to have, red flag warning, and I can plan ahead of time. And you should. You should stage things by the door and get things ready. But, you know, oftentimes if it's high winds and stuff like that, you're just going to have to run. And so you just want to maybe always have a go bag of the most precious possessions, you know, right there where you can grab it no matter what as you're walking out the door.
And again, Stephanie O'Neill is a reporter with Kaiser Health News. She covers wildfires, has covered them around the state, and including this campfire and the Thomas fire in Southern California. Jeremy Siegel's also with us. And Jeremy did the whole series, Living with Wildfire in California, wrote a story on evacuations as part of that series. How many evacuation plans are actually accessible to the public, Jeremy?
Like we were talking about earlier, just 22%, at least in these high risk for wildfire California communities, are available to the public. But I wanted to
Hold back on some for security reasons, though, supposedly?
You know, I don't know too much about that, but a lot of communities also will have, or local governments will have plans for themselves so that in the event of an evacuation, they would know where to direct the public, but that might not be available to the public itself, you know, readily available online, but it might be something that the local sheriff's office, that the local Department of Emergency Services has access to, so that in the event of a fire, they can direct people, but you might not be able to find those online.
And let me bring our listeners into this. If you have some thoughts about evacuation plans, if you're in fact pretty much in your own mind prepared, or if you think that, for example, California as a state ought to have required evacuation plans for wildfires, any questions or comments you might have are certainly up for discussion here. And you can give us a call now at our toll-free number. The number to call is 866-733-6786. We do welcome your involvement in the program, so please feel free to join us now. Again, you can do that at 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email any questions or comments to forum@kqed.org, or go right to our website, kqed.org/forum. Talking about Northern California, and you, Stephanie O'Neill, were covering Ventura and so forth. What's the evacuation plan sort of picture down there?
I don't know. It's interesting because I'll talk to people about that. And I have to tell you one phenomenon that's happening certainly around this area. I live in an area that's somewhat rural. We're about 75 miles northwest of Los Angeles. And when the Thomas Fire happened, we didn't have a firefighter here, really firefighters actively fighting fires for about 3 days. So I was filing for you guys, for NPR, and I'm standing in front of houses that are burning because they were going to the more densely populated city of Ventura, where they lost more than 500 homes. And so you have to be prepared for that as well. And I think what's going to happen, officials are going to be facing a lot more people staying home to fight the fire to save their homes. I know a lot of people will not be leaving after they've, seen what happened. And there's ways to do that safely, and there's ways to, also get hurt doing that. But I think that's going to be a phenomenon that public officials are going to have to deal with, especially in more rural areas. So people need to know, too, that depending upon how big the fire is, if there's these wind storms going on that are making it race, so fast, you may not have officials telling you, hey, go down that road. So you really need to plan it out. And a great website is from CAL FIRE. It's called readyforwildfire.org. And it has all these steps of what to do ahead of time, how to fire harden your home. For instance, if you're in your house and you can't get out of your house and you get trapped, you want to close your windows and stay, away from walls. Or if you're in a car trapped in traffic, like people were way back in 1991, at the Oakland Hills fire, about 25 people, I think, died in that fire. And I think most of them were in their cars trying to get out of these windy roads, and they were trapped and couldn't do it. So there's things you can do if you are trapped in your car. You can run into somebody's yard and look for a swimming pool. I mean, those are obvious things, but sometimes we get frightened and we don't know what to do. But if you talk about it ahead of time with your family, with your friends, like, what would you do? Play out some scenarios, look online, think about your particular situation, your family's, you're going to be much better off when the wildfire hits, because it will hit. It's not if, it's when it will hit.
That's all excellent advice, particularly the idea of having a refuge, because when these fires move fast, you really need sometimes to find a place, and just a place that you can know there's going to be at least in some fashion safe. Which gets us to details, Jeremy. I want to get into this with you, because when you're making an evacuation plan, you have to think about the disabled and the elderly. You have to think about those who don't hear any emergency call or don't trust the emergency calls, whatever they may be. You also have those who need shelter, as I indicated, or are going to have some evacuation plan that includes shelter. And the availability of emergency social services plays in here as well. There's just so much in the picture.
Yeah, there are a lot of people in communities who are going to have a lot of difficulty getting out. There are a number of people who probably don't have cars or who can't drive their own cars. During the campfire, we saw sort of by accident or sort of by happenstance that a number of people did end up sheltering in place, whether it was at I spoke to a group of people at an evacuation center in the immediate aftermath of the fire who ended up spending basically the entire night at a Rite Aid. Firefighters told them that was their best bet when at that point the fire was too close to the road for them to be able to get out of town. But talking to emergency officials now in the aftermath of the campfire, there seems to be more of an effort to clearly lay out in communities which places people could go for temporary safe refuge in the event of a fire. And I want to be clear that most emergency managers will tell you that the number one most important thing to do when there is a fire is to get out of town. But as a last resort, these are places within town that you would be able to stay safe, hopefully, in during a wildfire. And these are places that will have a good amount of defensible space, a lot of brush cleared around them. These are places like, large parking lots, local schools, places of that sort where you could go to shelter during the fire itself, wait out the fire moving through the community, and then once it's passed, you'll actually be able to get out.
And again, we're talking about when wildfires strike, how should residents escape, and should there be evacuation plans, and what about evacuation plans? I know, again, many of you have questions and certainly may want to weigh in here with your thoughts, and we welcome them. You can join us toll-free again at 866-733-6786. Let's go to our callers, and we begin, Cheryl, with you. Cheryl from Santa Rosa, welcome.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. The thing that I wanted to point out is that communication is and always will be the most important issue. I live very rurally in outside of Santa Rosa, between Santa Rosa and Calistoga. The Tubbs Fire burned down Calistoga Road on the west side of the road. I luckily live on the east side, but I count on power, which went out immediately, for cell service. And once we lost power, we lost communication. Maybe the good news is we saw the red glow. What I really feel is important is that people pay attention to the red flag warnings. I am now living in an area where PG&E does plan on pulling our power. People should take into consideration generators for backup for their refrigerators and for communication. I also now have luggage tags on the items that I deem important to take when I evacuate, and I have tags on my animal carriers, and taking the red flag warnings into consideration in the same vein that people take hurricane warnings into consideration, you get a couple of days' notice, have a staging area of your kitchen table or your garage, check your gutters, bring in your outdoor furniture. I think people know that the red flag warnings exist, but they choose to not necessarily prepare for a quick evacuation. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All good advice. Appreciate hearing from you, Cheryl. And let me go to another. You want to say something, Jeremy?
Well, I'd just like to touch on the communication aspect that she was talking about, because that is a really important part of these evacuations, because the first step is, of an evacuation is letting people know that they do indeed need to evacuate. And in the aftermath of the North Bay fires of 2017, we saw an effort in the state legislature to give more of a statewide guideline for how communities can tell people that they do need to leave town. And that's come out this year in the aftermath of the campfire. And Cal OES, the governor's office of emergency services, has released these guidelines that basically tell every county the best way to notify people in the event of a fire. And one of the most important things that they do recommend is using wireless emergency alerts, which is a federal system that essentially sends a text message to everybody in a geographic location, letting them know that they do need to get out. So,
though sometimes the cell towers and the cell data don't quite go through, I mean, particularly when you have quite a conflagration.
Yeah, absolutely. And these guidelines, they do say everything they recommend is just one part of what needs to be a sweeping effort by emergency managers. You can't just rely on one thing. You have to be using everything at your disposal to let people know they need to evacuate.
There's another caller joining us, and that's Ray from San Rafael. Ray, you're on.
Hi. I have a comment and a question. I work commonly on fires. My company is working currently on 9 different fires throughout the state. And with evacuation, you should have a second go bag, which contains clothing that you should wear to an evacuation. Many people may have seen the videos of the Oakland evacuation back in 91, where people were running along with shorts and flip-flops and short-sleeve shirts. And many injuries occurred because of that. So you should have heavy natural fabric clothing in a bag. I use a painter's jumpsuit, and also you want to wear something underneath to insulate yourself against the heat of the fire. You also want to have a mask to protect your airway and goggles to protect your eyes. And so you should have that second go bag ready with good shoes and things to evacuate in should you have to evacuate on foot. However, you are always best off in your car. You should, at all possible, stay in your car. And you should have the air conditioning on full blast, and you should push the button that it's internal air only circulating. So even when it's slow and things are backed up, you should stay in your car if at all possible.
Ray, thank you for that. And Stephanie O'Neill, that is generally a directive and advice that we often hear. Stay in the car whenever possible. Your thoughts?
All of that was great advice. Yes, the clothing is very important. The long sleeves, stay in the car. In fact, when you talk about going to an open space where there, you know, are few trees or, you know, less foliage than other areas, you know, I always envision in my head just running to that space. But actually what you want to do, if at all possible, is drive your car there, close the car windows. You know, like you said, the vents should be shut. I mean, if you have to park, you just close everything up and you're in the middle of that, you lie in the bottom. You lie on the floor of your car, you cover up if the fire gets close. All this is outlined too on that website I mentioned before, and I'll say it again, it's called readyforwildfire.org. It was built by Cal Fire for exactly this, and it's just really great. It goes step by step and things like that that you should do. But that second go bag is a brilliant idea. In fact, I'm going to make mine when I get off here with you guys and make sure that that's by the door, because you know, you might just be in, it's a hot day typically when these fires hit, right? And it can be, and then you're in your shorts and your casual clothes, but there's all these other injuries that can happen that don't need to happen, you know, as you're escaping.
Jeremy, I've got a question from a listener named Rich who wants to know about Paradise not having any fire alert sirens.
A number of communities don't have sirens that you'll see throughout, like San Francisco. You know, you hear sirens tested every month here. But during the campfire itself, you did have police cars roaming around using sirens, letting people know that they did need to leave. So they didn't have set up sedentary sirens, but they were going around and alerting people with alerts that you could hear. But that is another thing that's in these guidelines that Cal OES has released, is that you need to basically have as many things at your disposal as possible to let people know, because if a cell tower does go down, you need to have a way to let people know that they get out. And not many people, you know, tend to have landlines anymore, so you need to have another way to let them know. And indeed, having an alert system, audible alerts that you'd hear, that could be the way to do it.
Stephanie O'Neill, another question from a listener named Skip, who says, why do people have to escape? Escaping seems to be as dangerous as staying. Why not equip each home with a bunker, a fallout shelter, a basement, et cetera, where the family can retire and survive any fire?
You know, I think it's like Australia has these fire bunkers. It's sort of like, you know, the tornado shelters. Like you go underground and they're fire bunkers. And that would be great. But think about that. I mean, we don't even have tornado shelters in much of the United States that gets hit by tornadoes. There's expense and so forth. I mean, if you live on a property where you can do that, that's a great idea. You know, make it so it's really safe. And like I said, a lot of people, especially in more rural areas, who are going to get, you know, be last in line for the fire services office. Oftentimes, especially in a wildfire that's, you know, raging toward or in a city as well, those people, it's really wise to go ahead and be prepared. I have friends who have generators for their pools, so they can generate they have the fire hose, they have the generator, and they can get the water out of the pool and use it to fight the fire. And I have friends who did just hunker down and stay at their home, and they saved it. But you really have to plan ahead for that. You have to make sure your home is the right type of home for that, where you don't have you know, trees nearby that haven't been cleaned underneath, you know, the brush cleaned. You really have to take, you know, it's a dangerous thing to do, but a lot of people are going to be doing that. But if you prepare properly, it is probably safer than jumping in your car and getting trapped in
there. Well, we're talking about prevention, and you can get a fire inspector out there and actually go through some of that stuff that can make for less problems. So a listener wants to know, what about elderly people who really need help evacuating? I live with my 98-year-old mother. I could not be able to remove her by myself. Jeremy?
I mean, during the campfire, you did have the sheriff's department. You had local police from Paradise coming around and helping people evacuate. But talking to some experts, that is one of the things that could be important about having these temporary safe refuge areas, because you do have populations where it's going to be difficult for them to make long trips out of town. And if you can imagine, if someone lacks mobility, it would be much easier to assist them getting to a place that's just up the road and still within your community, where you could ride out the fire and stay safe there rather than trying to take somebody all the way out. And I mean, during the campfire, I spoke to some people where it took them 10 hours to make it totally out of the area into safety. And for some of these more vulnerable populations, you can imagine that's a long, difficult trip to make.
I read a comment from Amy up in Santa Rosa. She says, I live in Santa Rosa. Most of us are evacuation ready now. I want to know that the emergency services personnel have reviewed all the possible scenarios and have a plan for people to evacuate quickly. We needed traffic directing so that people closest to the fire could get out first and not get blocked by people evacuating further away, and to open up opposite direction lanes. There were no personnel helping us. Let me bring another caller aboard here, and that's you, Jonathan. Thanks for waiting. Jonathan's in Forestville. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention that our local fire department and others in Sonoma County, I believe, are advancing this program called Map Your Neighborhood, which is for a template program for people to get together in little groups in their neighborhood and develop evacuation plans, and that is addressing needs of the elderly, for example, that may need help evacuating, or unknown evacuation routes, like through vineyards or something like that.
Well, it sounds like a good operation, and I hope maybe some people will take your lead in that. Thank you for the call, Jonathan. Good to hear from you. I'm going to go right on to another call. Jonathan, Jeremy, though, you want to add something here?
Well, I just want to say that is another really important step in all of this, is to be in touch with community members. And I'd recommend anybody, if you're looking for a way to get in touch with your community and learn more about wildfire preparedness, search your wherever you're from and add in FireSafe. A lot of communities have FireSafe councils, which these tend to get together at least once a month, and go through the community, things like evacuation routes and how you can be in touch with each other to help each other in the event of evacuation.
Well, here we are talking about evacuation and prevention, and Stephanie O'Neill has done a lot of reporting and work about the aftermath of those who have been through the wildfires. Stephanie, let me get some thoughts from you. We've just got seconds left here, but about what people can do best to handle all the PTSD and other kinds of consequences of going through this kind of experiences.
Well, if for Paradise folks, there is some free counseling that's going on. It's really important to seek counseling. PTSD will oftentimes, set in a few months after all the trauma has happened, and sometimes it's later for men. So you really need to be aware of that irritability. Look up the signs of it, and then definitely go seek some help, because it can affect you for a long time.
Let me thank you, Stephanie O'Neill. Stephanie O'Neill, again, is a reporter with Kaiser Health News. Good to have you with us this forum segment. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Michael.
And thanks to Jeremy Siegel, reporter for KQED News, who wrote a story on evacuations as part of our science series, Living with Wildfire, California Reimagined. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you, Michael.
And thank you, our listeners. We're here with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, with an hour repeat at 10 to 11 in the evening. And another hour of forum is looming here, beckoning us. We're going to talk with Larry Diamond in the hour ahead, all about fostering democratic institutions amid a global authoritarian trend. He's written a new book, and it's all about that topic. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schramm and Maria Minetti Schramm, founders of the Minetti Schramm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.